on about, the values that we're trying to put in place. What does G stand for? There's so many things wrong with that. Jesus. GGG. Go. Go cast the net. O. Obey. D. Deny yourself. E. Encourage. Hey, this is good. E. Eat together. I'm going to talk about that more next week. P. Pray. Pray for one another. And there's another E. Explain. Explain the scriptures. And R. Remain. These are the things that I think, there's obviously more, but to me, the essence of it really captures, this acronym captures what we're on about, what God wants us to do. It really captures, to me, the command of Jesus to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. And teach them to obey everything. Teach them to obey everything that I taught you to obey. And when I started looking at what Jesus taught us to obey, the first thing he said, I'm going to show you how to cast the net and go out there and make disciples and tell people about the kingdom, the good news. The second thing he said, deny yourself. Take up your cross. If you want to be a follower of mine, you need to take up your cross and follow me. And baptism is a part of that. There's making disciples is obeying everything and being baptised to say, yep, I'm a follower of Jesus. So we're going to see that happen today. The first thing Jesus taught his disciples was to cast the net. Second thing he said, the most important thing you guys can do, he said, this is the most important. He said, love your God, love the Lord your God. And love others the same. And to me, it's like this little circle. That how do you love God? Well, you love God by loving others. And when I love others, then I love God. It's this little cycle that goes around. If you love God, then you cannot not love others. And if you're loving others, that's how you love God. And so, to me, you can't love something and put yourself before that. You can't love God and say, well, I'm more important than God. Love is sacrificial, and Jesus said, if you want to love like God does, then you've got to do what I do and lay down your life. That's denying yourself. You can't flip the horse around and put the cart before the horse. You've got to love God, you have to deny yourself. And to love anyone, that requires that. To lay down your life, I want to serve and a sacrifice. And when both people are doing that, that's what an equal relationship is. When one person takes and another gives, it's an unequal but unbalanced relationship. And so that's what denying yourself is really all about. It's loving God to the extent you go, God, I'm going to put your agenda before mine. And encouraging others, or loving others, to me is about, we sung it a number of times today, it's about lifting someone up. It's about helping someone, encouraging them. Let me walk with you with this. It's about walking with someone and lifting them out of the pit. And so this passage really, this is what Jesus says. So he starts off with this story one day. If anyone wants to follow along, I've found it. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 25. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, oh, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. Right, Jesus said, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, and so he asked Jesus, so who is my neighbour? So Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was travelling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. And they stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him up, and they left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by him. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. And going over to him, the good Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Wine fixes everything, apparently. Good red. Then he put the man on his own donkey and he took him to an inn where he took care of him. And the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, then I'll pay you next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbour to the man? The man who was attacked by bandits, Jesus asked. And the man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." It's an interesting story, isn't it? There's actually 3 people represented in this story. Well, there's 4 if you count the bandits. But the point of the story is these 3 guys. The first is the guy who, religious guy, who says, preaches all the time, and he says, he knows the law back to front. And he teaches, love God and love others, but he walks on the other side of the road and does nothing. He's a religious Pharisee. These 3 people could represent you and me, or they could actually represent 3 churches, I think, as well. Because there are a lot of churches like that. They say all the right things, but don't really do anything to help others. The second person could represent a person who walks past and says, you know, it's his fault that he's there. It's probably, you know, if he had have made the right choices in life, he wouldn't be there. And they walk past in judgment and look down on the person and condemn them for what they've done and don't really offer any help. The second person I want to think about is the person who's actually on the deck. He's been beaten up. Life has come along and it's given him a hard time and he's ended up in the dirt. He's wounded and he's hurting. And he could be sitting there going, you know, life's not fair and it hurts. What have I done to deserve this? I thought about this guy and I thought, you know, he hasn't done anything to deserve this. That's life. Life sometimes, that's just where you end up, in the dirt. And I thought, maybe God's allowed this. Maybe God has allowed this person to be there. Why? Well, maybe God wants to show how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God is about lifting people up. And maybe this story is not about the wounded guy at all. Maybe he's just there because God's allowing an opportunity for someone to walk past and put a hand out and lift him up. That brings me great hope if you're one of those people laying on the ground. Because if God's allowed you to be there, then the answer is that God can lift you up. There's great hope in that story. God has sent people to help you. Don't worry about it. God's timing will be perfect. And that person will pick you up and they'll walk alongside with you and they'll put you on your feet and you'll be restored. And the third person in this story is obviously the Good Samaritan. Really, the Good Samaritan represents, in this story, the Gentile church. It's this church, this group of people who have been brought in. They're really unclean. They're not Jews, so they're Gentiles. But this church, this group of people, are the ones who actually put into practice what it means to love God and love others. Actually going out of their way to pick someone up, care for their needs, to walk beside them and set them on their feet again. They're willing to help. They don't just say, "Listen, buddy, you should love God and love others." Don't just say, "Here's a few bucks, go and buy yourself a, a drink or hot shower. Actually, take the time to get alongside this person and walk alongside them, this journey, this spiritual journey. It's not just a physical thing. This is a spiritual, there's a spiritual analogy to this as well. And I've been thinking as we go through these things and the scripture, comparing ourselves as a church, do we do these things? Could we say that what sort of church would we be? In realistic, like, would we have to look at ourselves in this? And so I started thinking through some of the stories and literally in the past couple of weeks. And I say this not to boast, but I just say this is the stories that I've heard. And I'm sure that these aren't all the stories that I've heard. I don't know everything that goes on. That's true. That people do things outside of my knowledge, which is great, because they don't want to be known. They just do these things. But some of the stories in the last couple of weeks, I've known tradesmen who've gone around people's houses in storms and helped fix the house. I know someone asked me to go and make a huge donation to someone else in our church because they didn't want to be known, but they wanted to contribute to their well-being and their help to lift them up. The whole Friday night youth group thing. You've got parents coming along saying, who are these young people who are prepared to give up a Friday night and serve kids? That's a massive impact on people. These people are denying themselves and they're lifting others up. The people who've gone out here to serve Sunday, the kids' biz, do the same. You could sit here and, you know, get a great message. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't feel guilty. But they're giving up their time and effort. I sit in the shop and there's a lady in the park doing community service in our community, and conversations having with, why are you doing this? What's going on? And she brings them over to the shop and have conversations. There are people who provide meals for people who are without. I could go on and on. There are people who have travelled on journeys with people over many, many years. And the symbolism couldn't be any better than this story of getting your arm around someone and walking the journey with them. You couldn't ask for a better analogy than some of that. There's been people in the last few weeks have done exactly the same with mates who are just, they're down and out with no hope, no direction, and they're like, now we're not going to pick you up and carry you, but we will walk beside you and get you back on the path. Like, these are the stories that have happened in the last two or three weeks. One of the philosophies of the shop at Thrive is that we don't want to just give people handouts. And so tutoring is actually a way of saying we want to walk beside you, the whole family. They come and take, Glenn, my kid's fallen behind at school. I don't know what to do. I can't help. So it's a great opportunity to sit beside someone and say, we're not going to give you a handout. That's not what's going to be best for you. But we can encourage you and build you up and walk beside you. Make tutoring affordable so you can actually help yourself up as well. You know, there are more than that, and I know people are continually doing it. And I'm not saying this to boast, but can I just say it as an encouragement that as a church we're doing what God asks us to do in terms of demonstrating love. That's how you do it. It's by walking alongside and stopping and picking someone up. Someone told me last week, they went for a drive out west somewhere to do something and picked up a hitchhiker along the way. And he said, I'll give you a lift. And he said, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going here. And he said, well, I'll live over there. But that was 2 hours out of his way. So he did. He just took him. Who does that? Not normal people. Just good Samaritans, Christian people. who actually put into practice the kingdom principles. Whew, made through it. That's good. So love, it's twofold. It's not just this airy-fairy spiritual connection that we have with God. It's actually a physical thing that we do with people. We actually walk with people. It's practical and spiritual. It's selfless. Love has to deny itself. It lifts others up. It denies and encourages. Today, Michaela is going to physically or literally act out these two things. When you think about what baptism is, it's this. When you deny yourself, you actually, another word for that is to die to yourself. And so baptism is this act. It's literally, it depends how you do it. I like the idea of going backwards because it symbolises actual death. When you die, like Stuart said, it's coming. You'll probably be laid in a coffin. If you go forward and they do that, it's going to be very uncomfortable for a very long time. But being laid to rest is actually being laid down. And so we baptise, I don't know, if there might be not enough room there, to, whatever you decide to do. It's not the big point. But laying down under the water is a symbol of death. And the resurrection part is actually that you are lifted up. You don't lift yourself out of the water. You actually lift it up. Someone's lifting you up. That's the resurrection. It's this death and resurrection. And the lifting up is this thing that we do for one another and what Jesus does for us. We lay down our life. He raises us back up again. So today, this story, this analogy is just perfect for encouraging one another. It's how we lift one another. It's how we raise the dead. So Michaela's going to come and share a question. Why do you want to die to yourself and be lifted up? Why are you being baptised today, Michaela? Come and tell us.
Good morning, everyone. I kind of lost my voice while I was at colour. Probably singing a bit too much, so this is the most I've been able to speak for about nearly like a day and a half. This is the most I've been able to speak for about a day and a half, so please excuse my voice. So for a lot of my life, I've struggled with trust and fear. And they are two really big issues that I let rule my life and make a lot of decisions for me. These were accentuated by a few different challenges that I faced, but I never really addressed them or even realised the hold that they had on me until a few years ago. I began thinking more and more about them and reflecting on the different situations that made me who I am, and ended up seeing that I had let fear and trust put me in a bit of a box, and I hadn't really realised how far I'd gone into that box. So my life has definitely not gone the way I thought it would have, but continuously throughout the ups and downs, I've had amazing people around me to pick me up and remind me that I have an incredible saviour who will never leave me and will always be beside me no matter what situation I face. I've been very blessed to have had God put wonderful people in my life who have supported me and shown me God's amazing love and grace and compassion no matter what. And I will forever be thankful for them and how they have helped me over the last few years. It's these people that have challenged me and helped me and pushed me and encouraged me in my journey over the past few years to develop my relationship with God. As I have grown closer to God and built my relationship with Him, trust and fear have lost their overwhelming grip on me. They are still present and are often the things that rise up when I'm struggling or being challenged by something. But I know that my God and my Saviour is bigger and stronger than them. When God helped me to quiet my fear demons, I realised that there was nothing holding me back from being baptised anymore. And I'm very thankful to have everyone here to share that with me today.
So it's just an amazing thought that God doesn't put people in the dirt, but life happens. And then say he sends someone along and lifts them up. And that is the kingdom. That's just a fantastic picture. Look for those opportunities as a church. You don't have to look far. There are people everywhere who just laying on the side of the road waiting for a hand up, waiting for someone to stop and say, will you listen to my story? It's not hard, but that in itself is fulfilling the great commandment to love God and love others. It's lifting someone up. So let's go and do that. Let's go and see this acted out, and sun's out and guns are out. So I will pray and hand over to Tim and Freya. They're going to do the dipping, the death and resurrection. If everything goes well, it won't just be a death. It'll be a resurrection as well. That's everything going well. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to act out what it means to look to be a disciple of yours, to actually obey you by doing this command, being baptized. Is a great step of faith by Michaela, and so we ask that you'll bless her for that. And Lord, as we witness this, that we'll be challenged about our obedience to you. What are you asking us to do? And we know that the opportunity to lift someone up is a command from you as well. To actually lift up others is to love people. And so, Lord, just open our eyes, help us to see the needs around us, help us not to be hypocrites and walk past people who in need of help. And so, Lord, we thank you for this church, and we thank you for the practical nature that we see all around us of people who are willing to do that. And Lord, for those who are down at the moment, I ask that, Lord, they'll have the confidence to actually raise their hand and say, help, and give the church an opportunity to actually do the kingdom work in their life. So Lord, this has been a great passage and a great day, and we thank you for your presence with us, the worship and the way that we've been bonded together through that, bonded with you. And Lord, yeah, continue to bless us for today as we eat together as we do, and we remember who and why we're here. So we give you thanks for all of these things in Jesus' mighty name today. Amen.